This is Financially Speaking with the Bushka Wealth Management Team. You need a financial strategy that counts for challenges like market volatility and inflation, and that also adequately prepares you for retirement. The purpose of this show is to address common financial concerns, provide helpful strategies, and offer ways you may be able to achieve your financial goals. And now, here's Financially Speaking.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Financially Speaking. I'm Kaylee Berenson with Bushka Retirement Solutions and Bushka Wealth Management, and joining me today is our co-host Tony Shore and Ryan Pekka, a fellow wealth advisor here at Bushka. Listeners, if at any point you want more information on our topic today, feel free to call us at 715-355-4445 or reach out to us on our website at retirewithbushka.com, where you can catch up on previous radio or TV shows. You can subscribe to the radio program via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music, where you can get updates as new episodes come out. And in addition to that, feel free to check out our YouTube channel, where we've uploaded all of our previous radio and TV show episodes for you to view at your leisure. Now, many people think that investing is only something that you do during your career when your goal is to pile up enough assets to help you retire and enjoy your preferred lifestyle. But in truth, there's no reason that you can't keep investing after you've fully kicked back and embraced that retirement lifestyle. After all, the more that you grow your finances, the better off that you are likely to be even in retirement. But before we get into our timely topic today, let's check in on our co-host, Tony Shore. Tony, how are we doing today?
Oh, I am so good. In fact, I'm still recovering from this past weekend. On Sunday, my entire family, actually there was 14 of us, and we went out to this special Sunday brunch at a place just across the river over in Minnesota in a little town on the river called Afton, at the Afton House Inn. Amazing, amazing food. Kind of pricey, especially with 14 people when we picked up the bill. But so I calculated beforehand. So what I did to make sure we came out ahead or at least broke even, I ate my own weight in Eggs Benedict. So I don't know if that's I paid for it later, but no, in all seriousness, it was delicious, had fun. So I had a great weekend. How about you guys? Did you spend some time this past week or weekend with family? How about you, Kaylee?
Yeah, plenty of Easter egg hunts and finding baskets. So many celebrations with the kids. But definitely enough candy to keep them going with all that sugar.
Yeah, there you go. And Ryan, what about you?
My family heads south for winter, so I didn't see any of them. We just spent some time with my fiance. We spent the weekend in Madison to enjoy our free time. So
nice. Yeah. Well, that's nice though. That was probably fun and casual. I like that. That's great. And for our listening audience out there in radio land, on podcasts, the video podcast, if they're watching, we need to officially, this is your first show. Ryan Peck is first. Oh my gosh. Woo! The crowd's going crazy.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wow. I mean, Ryan, that's a better reception than I've ever got.
Yeah, quite the welcome.
Yeah. And, you know, just for our listeners and viewers out there, they do refer to Ryan. He has a nickname already. Let's listen.
Financial Panther, eh?
So that's even Homer calls Ryan the Financial Panther, I guess. That's all right. That's pretty cool. Even gets a mention on The Simpsons. I love that. I love that about you, Ryan, that people call you the Financial Panther. You're all over it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, I think this is going to be a great show. You've got a great topic picked out for us. As for today's topic, I assume we're supposed to stop. I always thought anyway, we were supposed to stop worrying about the markets and investing once we were retired. But it sounds like maybe I'm going to be proven wrong there. And I think a lot of people might not have the right idea. I know you do need to keep some growth going. So where do we want to start?
All right. Well, we can start with a Forbes article. It's titled, "Here's Why You Should Continue Investing After Retirement." It presents an interesting perspective. Retirees should view themselves as long-term investors still. Retirement isn't a finish line. It's just a new chapter in life. So even if you retire right on schedule at 65, your journey is far from over. In fact, you may have up to 30 years, possibly more, of life still ahead of you. So a recent study from JP Morgan noted in the article found that a healthy non-smoking couple has a 46% chance that one of them lives to 95 and a 1 in 5 chance they'll reach 100. So that's not just longevity, that's an opportunity. But here's where it's tricky. You know, when paychecks stop, you start drawing from your savings each month. It's easy to slip into a short-term mindset. Understandably so, monthly expenses don't take a vacation in retirement. Still, this may cause some retirees to see themselves as short-term investors, even though they're often only tapping a small slice of their portfolio each year.
Interesting. And you mentioned longevity there. And what I always like to say is the good news is we're living longer, but the bad news is we're living longer, right? You get good and bad there, but you're right. You do still need growth in retirement. So Kaylee, what's the move here?
Well, the truth is that most retirees are still long-term investors, and there's real power in embracing that perspective. First, it gives your portfolio room to breathe, to weather those downturns and then bounce back in time. Just as important, it helps you stay focused on the long game, making sure that your investments continue to grow and keep pace with inflation, so your money works as hard as you did. Retirement may mark the end of your career, but it's also the beginning of your legacy, and you should be planning accordingly for that.
Yeah. And what better way to plan accordingly than by working with a great team like yourselves there at Bushka, Ryan and Kaylee. I really encourage our listeners, if they're not already, to work with a financial services professional that's going to be looking out for your best interests and can get that plan in place.
Yeah, absolutely. The article also tells us we may need stocks to offer us some needed returns in that retirement. When you're investing for the long haul, time becomes your greatest ally. Over the span of 30 years, market has rewarded patience in a big way. Since 1977, U.S. stocks have delivered returns twice as high as ultra-conservative treasury bills. According to data from Portfolio Visualizer that shared in the article, that's the case. And we zoom out to 15-year rolling periods going all the way back to 1928. The story stays the same. Stocks average 9.8% annually, while treasury bills lag far behind at just 3.34%. It's not just a difference in numbers. It's a difference in the outcome in your retirement. So let's be honest. Stocks do come with some more ups and downs. During the past 50 years, their volatility, which is measured by standard deviation, was about 5 times greater than those treasury bills. But here's the key. If you see yourself as a long-term investor, you don't have to fear the waves. You just have to learn how to ride them.
Yeah. And of course, you don't have to do it alone. And you probably shouldn't, right?
That's exactly right, Tony. A thoughtfully built, well-diversified portfolio that you build in close partnership with a financial services professional can smooth out much of that ride. Take a classic 60-40 blend of U.S. stocks and T-bills, for instance. That mix has shown a standard deviation about 40% lower than an all-stock portfolio, meaning less turbulence without giving up all the journey's rewards. The bottom line here is that volatility is part of the price of admission, but with a long-term mindset and the right mix of investments, it's a price that could be well worth paying.
Okay, but how does inflation factor into all of this? I imagine that has an impact as well, right, Ryan?
Absolutely. Inflation doesn't knock on the door. It quietly slips in and makes itself at home. So
the silent killer.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. For retirees, it's one of the sneakiest, most dangerous threats to long-term financial security. Over 30 years, even modest inflation can dramatically reduce your purchasing power. What seems like a small year-over-year price increase adds up and adds up pretty fast. Sometimes inflation doesn't move quietly at all. We all remember 2022 when prices jumped pretty sharply in a matter of months. For some retirees, you can think back to the 60s or even early 70s and 80s. And we saw the relentless inflation during those time periods. And it was a tough time to stretch a fixed income.
So that said, then, how do you invest your hard-earned savings?
Well, Tony, the goal is to have your money grow faster than prices rise. So that means leaning into your investments that historically outpace inflation. T-bills, while they're stable, they often struggle to keep up. Stocks, on the other hand, have shown strength over time, delivering long-term growth that can help preserve your lifestyle, not just your capital. And for your bond allocation, the article explains that tools like TIPS, Treasury Inflation Protected Securities, can be a smart addition. They're designed specifically to rise with inflation, helping you maintain real purchasing power even when prices are climbing.
So that sounds like, again, there's a lot going on here, and we need to have a set plan in place so we don't have to worry about things like market volatility when we're in retirement, at least not as much, because you know you have a plan and that the money's going to be there when you need it. But how can our listeners, Kaylee, let our listeners know how they can get a hold of you and set up a no charge, no obligation consultation with you guys and the team there?
Absolutely. They can visit our website at retirewithbushka.com or give our office a call at 715-355-4445 to set up that complimentary no obligation consultation. So we can discuss that financial strategy and then address any of your concerns about investing during your retirement.
Yeah, that sounds great. And I know you both work closely with people to make sure that they're going to have a smooth and comfortable retirement and that their money is properly allocated. So they'll have some growth and some protection. And that's what we're talking about today. Should you keep investing? And yeah, most people are going to live, like you said, in retirement, 20, 30, maybe even more years. Right. And so, you're still investing for the long term somewhat. And I like that point you made. You've been talking about this, that the smart play is to keep investing rather than simply hunkering down with the assets you already have. So what's next?
Sure. So the Forbes article, Here's Why You Should Continue Investing After Retirement, has more information that I think is worth our time. It next addresses a very interesting question, which is how much should you invest in stocks before you retire versus after retirement? Investment mix shouldn't stand still because your life doesn't stand still. When you're starting out on your journey to retirement, time is on your side. That's why younger investors, those with decades of time ahead of them, can afford to lean more heavily into stocks. 90-10 split in stocks and fixed income isn't unusual. In fact, some long-term investors go all in on stocks during their early years of saving because of that amount of time they have. The article adds that even Warren Buffett, in his 2013 letter to Berkshire Hathaway shareholders, suggested a 90% stock and a 10% bond allocation for long-term growth. Why? Because you've got more time and you've got room on your to ride out those ups and downs and capture the market's long-term gains. But as retirement draws near, especially once it begins, it's time to shift those gears a little bit. Retirees are still in long-term investors, but now there's a new dynamic in play. We're taking those withdrawals during retirement. So you're no longer just growing your wealth, you're living off of it. That's why many financial service professionals recommend gradually reducing stock exposure and adding more of that fixed income in as we retire. This shift, often called a glide path, helps smooth the transition from accumulation to preservation and income.
Yeah, that's a really good point. But here's the really, really big question. Kaylee, this is for you. Who has the best pizza in the Wausau area? That's the big Wait, no, I'm kidding. Oh. Nope, that's not the question I had.
Nope, that's not the question.
Sorry. actually, it's how much should you keep in stocks during retirement?
Well, to answer your first question, my vote is for Sam's Pizza.
Sam's? Okay, good, nope. good.
To answer the second question, the answer isn't a one-size-fits-all, but research can help guide the way. The article explains that back in 1994, Bill Bengen, father of the 4% rule, found that portfolios holding 50 to 75% in stocks produce the most sustainable withdrawal rates over time. So why not go higher? Because history has shown us what can happen. A retiree sitting in a portfolio that's 100% stocks during a 1929 style crash could see their nest egg fall 90% in 3 years. And on the flip side, going too conservative, less than 50% in stocks, can leave your portfolio vulnerable to inflation like we saw in the 1970s. The article tells us that's why the 60-40 portfolio has become a classic. It aims to walk that line between risk and reward. But let's be honest, the right allocation is the one that fits your goals, your lifestyle, and your financial peace of mind. Because retirement isn't just about numbers, it's about confidence, freedom, and waking up each day knowing that you're right where you need to be.
Yeah, that's what we're all shooting for. Now, Ryan, I have a question for you. Is there ever a point at which a person, somebody should just stop investing in stocks?
Sure. I mean, everyone's a little bit different. Not every retiree needs to invest in stocks. Some may still want to. Let's say, for instance, you're in a fortunate position, someone who has Social Security and a pension that's covering their lifestyle, covering it comfortably, not relying on your portfolio for that monthly income. In that case, you may reasonably choose a much more conservative approach, primarily investing or even entirely investing into some fixed income assets. And especially in later preservation or stages of life, where it's more about preserving that wealth, may take over growing it in those instances. But the article that we were referring to earlier gives us a little bit of a twist there. Those who don't need to take risks may be best positioned to embrace those risks. If you can weather the market's ups and downs without needing to draw from those interests, you're in a very powerful position to capture that long-term growth potential that stocks historically offer us. In fact, over time, stocks have consistently outpaced bonds, sometimes by a pretty wide margin. That can open up an opportunity not just for you, but those you care about, your descendants, beneficiaries, things like that. Think enhanced planning. If you don't plan to spend your savings, but instead want to leave a lasting legacy, a growth-focused portfolio could serve your heirs very well. The long-term performance potential that may help you pass down significantly more wealth to the next generation. Because sometimes investing isn't just about you, it's about the future you're building for those you love.
Yeah, and you don't want to leave your loved ones in a bad situation. And I think most people, especially if they have kids and a family, they want to make sure if they pass, their spouse is going to be taken care of, first of all, and at least their kids and grandkids, they'll want probably to leave something to them if they can in that case. So I'm glad you pointed that out. I mean, we've done whole shows in the past on legacy and enhanced planning and estate planning, and we'll have more of those shows coming up. I know that's something you talk to your clients about as well. Speaking of which, how can working with yourselves, financial services professionals, help retirees with their investments? How do you help retirees with this?
Well, Tony, retirement doesn't mean stepping away from the stock market. It just means approaching it with more intention. A skilled financial services professional helps retirees invest with confidence by aligning their portfolio with their goals, lifestyle, and comfort with risk. For many retirees, the market can feel intimidating, but a good financial services professional can bring clarity. We can help you define why you're investing, whether it's for growth, legacy, or simply just keeping pace with inflation. And from there, we can craft a diversified portfolio that balances growth potential with downside protection. We can also guide your income strategy. So that might mean using a bucket approach, building a dividend stream, or planning dynamic withdrawals so you're not forced to sell stocks in a down market just to meet your needs. We stay steady when emotions run high. Markets rise and fall, but panic, it is optional. A financial services professional serves as your sounding board, your strategist, and sometimes your emotional anchor, helping you stay focused on your plan when headlines or market swings try to pull you off course, like what we're currently experiencing at this time. But ultimately, we're just not managing money, we're managing financial peace of mind. And with a solid plan in place, you can continue investing in stocks, not out of fear, but with purpose, knowing that your money is working for you, your lifestyle, and your legacy.
Based on what you just said and what you and Ryan have been talking about on the show so far, that really means that if you're emotional at all or worried when the stock market is volatile or down like it has been, I mean, we've been seeing a lot of stock market volatility. People are concerned. They watch the news and it seems like the sky is falling. Are we going to head to a recession? The stocks are down. So having that plan in place is going to help give people that financial peace of mind. They need this. So before we go on, let's take a break and take a minute to let our listeners know how they can deal with this. The first step is to set up a no charge, no obligation consultation with yourselves. I know you'd love to hear from our listeners and viewers, and you can sit down with them and get that plan started, correct?
Absolutely.
So how can our listeners get a hold of you?
Well, they can call us at 715-355-4445, or they can go to our website at retirewithbushka.com. That's retirewithbushka, B-U-S-K-A.com.
All right. And as a reminder, you're listening to Financially Speaking with our hosts, Kaylee and Ryan, and I'm your co-host, Tony Shore. And during the show today, Kaylee and Ryan, you've been talking about whether or not people should continue actively investing even after they're officially retired. And I think it's been a really good chat. What do you have for us next, Ryan?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's keep our focus on retirees today by discussing a recent article in Kiplinger's. It's called Stagflation, What It Is and Why Retirees Should Care. Lately, Wall Street has dusted off the old term with new relevance, stagflation. And for retirees, it's worth understanding what that term means. Well, we're not officially in stagflationary environment yet. Some warning lights are blinking. The term itself sounds like financial jargon to most people, but it simply refers to a tough economic mix of rising inflation, sluggish growth, and climbing unemployment all at the same time. It's a rare and tricky combination. It can be unsettling for people, especially those in retirement and who are more sensitive to rising prices and market uncertainty. But there is good news. Awareness is the first step towards smart planning. A trusted financial services professional can help you navigate environments like this with strategies designed to help keep your long-term goals on track, whether it's rebalancing that portfolio, adding inflation hedges, or adjusting your withdrawal strategy. There are ways to stay resilient in that kind of stage or stagflationary stage, even when the headlines are very noisy and distracting.
Yeah, and they have been. And I heard that term recently. So I don't think it's good news that we're hearing that term that I haven't heard in a while called stagflation. And we're not there yet, but people are starting to talk about it. And there are some warning signs. What are some of the warning signs people need to look for? I mean, you briefly mentioned some there. Kaylee, what about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So rising inflation, slowing economic growth, and a softening job market creates an uneasy economic backdrop. And these are some of the clearest signs when it comes to stagflation. So let's begin with tariffs. On April 2nd, which is also my birthday, might I add.
Awesome. You recently had a birthday. And I mean, it's not every day you turn 29. I think that's awesome.
Forever and always.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, on April 2nd, President Trump announced broad new tariffs starting at 10%, but significantly higher for key trading partners like China, the EU, Vietnam, and Taiwan. Tariffs tend to drive up prices, and consumers are already feeling it. Grocery bills are climbing. Eggs, beef, and other staples cost more, while consumer confidence sits at a 12-year low. On the employment front, there's more cause for concern. Unemployment claims are creeping up, now nearing 2 million, which is the highest since 2021. Layoffs surged in March, up 60% from the previous month and more than double from a year ago. According to the article, many concerns stem from sweeping cost-cutting measures by the so-called Department of Government Efficiency, also known as DOGE. At the same time, government spending is tightening and markets are reacting. The Dow, NASDAQ, and S&P all ended March in the red, and volatility is on the rise.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, we've seen this before. People shouldn't panic, but this is exactly why a financial services professional like yourselves is so important. I mean, in those moments of uncertainty, you don't panic. You take a rational, thoughtful approach, and you help people pivot with some adjustments maybe to their portfolios, their income plans, the risk exposure, and you can help people weather the storms like this while keeping those retirement goals intact. And I do think that is so important. So what could stagflation mean for retirees, Ryan?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you lived through the 70s, you remember how tough stagflation can be. Prices soared, growth stalled. It felt like no matter what you did, your dollar just wasn't stretching as far as it used to. Today, some of those same warning signs are starting to reappear. Rising inflation, that slowing economy, a stock market that's struggling to provide the cushion we've come to rely on, especially after the last 2 years that have been really great for us. So in recent years, when inflation creeps up, retirees could lean on rising stock values or higher equity allocations to keep their plans on track, but stagflation changed that playbook a little bit. When both stocks and bonds come under pressure, the strategies that worked before may no longer work at this time. So that's why now is the time to be thoughtful, be a little bit more flexible than we have in the past. Maybe time to revisit your spending plan, make some small adjustments there to protect your long-term financial health. If you're nearing retirement, considering whether to extend your time in the workforce or picking up work that covers your bill, it might give your portfolio some more time to grow. And the goal isn't just to survive challenging markets, it's to adapt, stay in control, and continue building the life you've earned.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And I think it's so important. So how do you recommend people handle their portfolios then?
Well, in times of uncertainty, like the possibility of stagflation, diversification can be a strategy to consider. When inflation runs hot and markets get choppy, a good way to manage risk is to spread your investments across a variety of assets. That's what helps keep portfolios steady when the headlines aren't. That's because true diversification means more than just owning a few different stocks. It means owning the right mix. Assets don't all move in the same direction. And while tech giants like the Magnificent Seven, Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, NVIDIA, to name a few, they've been pretty volatile, but other areas haven't been as volatile. And for retirees, especially concerned about inflation, there are smart tools like Treasury Inflation Protected Securities, also known as TIPS, and shorter-term bonds that may be something to consider. Above all, though, don't panic. The risk of stagflation, it is real, but many experts agree that this likely won't mirror the 1970s. With the right strategy and a trusted financial services professional by your side, you can stay calm, focused, and with your retirement on course.
Yeah, great advice. And I think that's so important. And you mentioned the Magnificent Seven there, those seven stocks that have carried the markets for quite some time. I think we're going to have to rename that from the Magnificent Seven to the Pretty Good 10.
Yeah.
I think we went from seven stocks that are magnificent to the Pretty Good 10. That's what I like to call them now. But it's been a good one. We've covered so much. Is there anything else you want to add before we go today?
Well, I just want to thank our listeners for joining us today. And one last reminder that they can reach us by calling 715-355-4445 or visit our website at retirewithbushka.com. That's retirewithbushka, B-U-S-K-A.com.
All right. Well, Kaylee and Ryan, we got the A crew for the show today. Listeners, thanks for tuning in. That does it for today's episode of Financially Speaking with our hosts, Kaylee and Ryan.
Thank you for joining us for Financially Speaking. Don't head into retirement without a strategy that addresses both income and taxes. For more information, please contact the Bushka Wealth Management Team at 715-355-4445 or visit retirewithbushka.com now. Join us again soon for another episode of Financially Speaking.
Fee-based financial planning and investment advisory services are offered by Bushka Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor in the state of Wisconsin. Insurance products and services are offered through Bushka Retirement Solutions, Inc. Bushka Wealth Management, LLC, and Bushka Retirement Solutions, Inc. are affiliated companies.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.